And just like that, the Tennessee Titans sit alone atop the AFC South, and they have a week to enjoy themselves. They hit their bye week at 3-2 after another win, another hard-fought down-to-the-wire win. But here they are, 5 weeks into the season, 3-2, the only team in the AFC South with a winning record following Sunday's 21-17 victory over the Washington Commanders. We will look a little bit more into what happened in that game. We'll look ahead to the week, what's coming. We'll start with the I guess the day's headlines real quickly. We're recording this Tuesday. The Minnesota Vikings have claimed Theo Jackson, sixth round pick in this year's draft, signed him off the Titans practice squad. So the Titans lose a member of their 2022 draft class. As we start this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast, John Glennon, let me ask you, is this a big loss for the Titans? Is it a non-factor? Is it somewhere in between? What do you think?
I don't think you can classify it as a big loss. You know, he had yet to play a snap this year. I think there was some potential there, certainly. Or, you know, they made him, they elevated him from the practice squad. We know for the Indianapolis game, didn't get to play. He was inactive for that game. But I do think there was some potential. It seems like they've been trying to look for that guy who can fit that Dane Cruikshank role. And even though Theo Jackson didn't make the team coming out of training camp, you know, I still think they thought that maybe down the road, this is a guy that, you know, could be able to do that type of deal. Certainly anytime you lose anybody from your immediate draft class, you know, that hurts as well. Not to mention the fact that, there's the local angle as well. Of course, Theo Jackson, one of two Overton High School players that were playing here for the Titans. So disappointing. But, you know, I guess on the other hand, we've certainly, you know, taken some shots at the Titans draft classes of 2020 and 2021, rightfully so, because they haven't contributed very much. Well, this is another indication that this 2022 draft class is pretty good. You know, we've had a lot of contributions from this draft class in the first place. And the fact that another team is grabbing, you know, one of your draft picks off the practice squad and saying he's on our 53, another good indication that, you know, he's probably got some potential down the road here.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, he goes to Minnesota, fills a roster spot created by an injury, I guess it was, to running back Ty Chandler, who is another Nashville guy who Montgomery Bell Academy, who also went to the University of Tennessee, was teammates with Theo Jackson there, spent 4 years there before he finished his career at North Carolina. So Minnesota building a little bit of a Nashville connection. But Denard Walker, let me ask you this. Jackson drafted, certainly no one expected him to play a huge role this year. You have Kevin Byard. You signed Amani Hooker to a contract extension before this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Titans are set at safety. They can retry this. They can draft a safety again next year and sort of be right in the exact same situation. Yes.
And not to mention they're both healthy, and that's the key. So, I mean, this is a great for Theo. I think it's a great opportunity for him to go to Minnesota, and he's signed on the active roster, so he's getting ready to suit up and getting ready to go. And so if you're Tennessee right now, you know you're solid at the safety position. You got two of the top safeties in the league, 1 and 3 respectively, and they're deep at that position, so it probably was going to be hard for Theo to get on the field this year and possibly next year with them signing Amani. So this is a great opportunity for both clubs. I mean, if you look at it for Tennessee, you're good right now. It's not going to hurt you because you got depth at the safety position. And not to mention for Theo, this gives him an opportunity to showcase his talents and take it on to Minnesota.
I do have to correct you. Amani Hooker has missed the last two games with a concussion, but that is one of those things. It's not like a knee injury or right. An ankle that you expect will plague him all year long. Certainly the extra week here is going to help him. I'll take this opportunity to say that the Believe in Titans podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Football is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup info, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all sports wagering info, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. It's always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to BetOnline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's go to where Sunday's game at Washington ended, down near the goal line. A lot of drama. Three plays by the defense with Washington having the ball at the 2 yard line. The last of those, David Long's interception, Denard Walker. How good a defensive stand was that? What particularly stood out to you in those three plays and the way the Titans held on to win that game?
Well, at resiliency, because Washington marched down the field that last series. I said, if you give this young team life, they're going to find a way to win. And not to mention Carson Wentz played his best game of the season. He played like a monster. So, again, Ron Rivera called him out during the week, said the problem with our team is at the quarterback position. And he looked great. And so what I love about Tennessee is they made a play when it counted. I thought this defense played lights out. You imagine, Washington was 0-8 for third down Sunday. And not to mention, you look at it, they didn't get their first third down until 28 seconds left in the game. And the only reason they was able to sustain that drive on the last series, they converted on fourth and short. So that shows you how suffocating this defense was. And the fact that they made a play at the end shows you that this defensive unit can be a championship caliber defense.
Yeah, it's interesting with this defense too. Really good on third down all year long, not so good on fourth down. You know, John Glennon, what do we make of that? Is that an oddity? Is that how do you interpret those numbers?
It is an oddity, no doubt. You know, they are, I believe, number one now in the league in third down defense. As you can imagine, after two of the last 3 weeks, I've been really good in that. Like, but I you know, maybe a time or two on fourth down. I think this in a Commanders game. You know, they kind of backed away a little bit in that instance particularly. A first down wasn't killing. They were scared bigger right during that final drive than they were about giving up the first down on a fourth down. So I can't get on them too much in that particular situation. What really kind of interested me, you know, in that last drive, and I thought Brian Baldinger did a really nice clip on it today, the NFL Network analyst on Twitter, and he talked about showed some of the different strategies the Titans used on those final three plays, and really the Titans changed things quite a bit. Instead of, you know, going after the passer, you know, kind of blitzing him hard, trying to make him hurry, they dropped almost everybody. You know, they only really rushed maybe a couple guys at most, and then they were dropping people all near the goal line to kind of confuse Carson Wentz, to give him something different to look at. And it clearly worked pretty well. You know, the first play, you know, the first down, he's not even really being attacked much, and yet he still just chucks the ball, you know, almost was intercepted on that first down play, trying to throw it away. Second down, who knocks that pass away? It's not a secondary member. It's a combination of Tier Tart and Jeffrey Simmons coming together to knock that pass away. And then on third down, again, we see these guys dropping. There's really only a couple guys that are going after Carson Wentz. And sure enough, David Long is the guy who jumps in the way of that last Carson Wentz pass. So the change in strategy really impressed me there. And the fact that, as Denard referenced too, this is at the end of an 18-play, 87-yard drive at the end of a game. Got to think these guys had to be a little gassed out there, but they were able to kind of suck it up and make one more big stop there and get the win.
And you know, guys continue to talk about it after the games and even during the week, how much belief they have in those situations. And they have won more than their share of close games under Mike Vrabel. And Jeffrey Simmons talked about it after this one in particular, where he said, you know, whatever problems we might have in the game, I want us to be on the field. If it's going to come down to the end of the game, I want us to be the ones on the field on defense. I want us to be able to defend whatever we need to defend, because I think we're going to make a play. I'm paraphrasing him there, but that was the, I mean, that was the gist of what he said. And, you know, we saw it 2 weeks earlier against the Raiders. They got the big pass break up on the 2-point conversion. I think I probably said it within the last 2 weeks, but this, you know, this is the ultimate example of a team that they don't ask you how you won. They ask if you won, right? Like, I mean, if this was about style points, no way would you say the Titans are a first place team or a legitimate playoff contender at this point, but they, you know, they're winning. And you got to give them credit for that. And we all know, you know, the old saying, I used to not understand this when I was a kid, but you know, nothing succeeds like success. And the more you win now, the more it's going to help you win later. And this team schedule is going to get tougher, but here they are at 3-2. And kind of to my point, John, you put this out on Twitter. You look at sort of the most primary statistics in the NFL, you know, Titans are 30th in total offense. They're 26th in defense. They're 23rd in scoring offense, 18th in scoring defense. I mean, the only place that they're in the top half of the league statistically is in stopping the run, where they're in the top 10. So Denard, I guess we'll go back to you. I mean, winning is the most important thing, right? If you're in that locker room and you've got all these statistics that don't look good, but you're 3-2 in first place, how good would you feel about that?
I feel great because you know what? If Carson hits that slant route, if David doesn't bait him and jumps in front of that, let's say he squeezes that ball in there, this podcast, it's a whole new different podcast. And the fact that they found a way to win at the end of the game, that's what you have to do. And just to kind of piggyback on what you're talking about, this run defense, Brian Robertson, again, a stud out of Alabama. I think he's going to be a great one. He's coming back from a serious, what he had a little off the field issue.
Got shot,
you know, it was amazing. And you saw before the game when they introduced him in the starting lineup, how loud that crowd got, you know, so I'm proud that he got out on the field. But that was their running game, and he fits what, 9 for 22 yards. That is a total domination for your defensive line. I thought Jeffrey Simmons had a heck of a game. Denico Autry, I'm glad the big man is back. They played great. But the only negative part, and I don't want to get into this but they have to eliminate the explosive plays. David and John, this is the Achilles heel of this defense. And what's kind of baffled me is we thought this was going to be the strong point coming into the season. And again, you got some dogs coming in later on down the line after this bye week. So they're going to have to get better in the passing defense if they want to be a championship type of defense this year.
Yeah. Let's ride with that, John. Look deeper than the numbers there. What don't those numbers say about the Titans, either on offense or defense, that people should know right now with this team?
Well, I think you know, I'll throw another batch of numbers at you, and I think the reason the Titans are 3-2, well a couple reasons actually, despite those kind of, you know, questionable numbers that we talked about before. One of them, okay, we do have to look at, you know, the caliber of team that they have played too, and they have not, it's not been a murderer's row these last 3 weeks either. You know, you've got a combined total, I think, of 4 wins in these three teams that they beat, in Indy, the Raiders, and the Commanders. So, you know, the heavier part of the schedule, the more difficult part, I think, is still down the road. But what they have done, I think, probably more successfully, you know, than almost any other team, is success in the red zone on both sides of the ball. You know, they don't get down to the red zone nearly as much as they would like to, especially in the second half, but incredible success rate once they get down there. They've scored touchdowns on 9 straight possessions in the red zone, 11 of 12 all year. I think their success rate is over 90% now. There's no other team that's even above 80 in terms of offensive red zone success. So they're efficient when they get down there. They're getting as many points as they can. Other side of the ball, I think they're still top 10, keeping teams out of the end zone in red zone situations. So, you know, and Mike Vrabel addressed this in the offseason, and he referenced it again the other day. He said about 30% of the game is played in the red zone. And that's why there was so much emphasis put on that, you know, this past offseason and regularly under Vrabel as well. Now, the cynic might say, maybe you should kind of put that emphasis on the remaining 70% of the game also. But nonetheless, I think if you can succeed really well in both red zones like that, you're going to be in just about every game, no matter how much the total yardage and some other statistics might not look so good.
And we should say this too. Randy Bullock has missed one field goal attempt this season. If he makes that one, this team's 4-1. And you know, and the mood is even better among Titans fans. Denard, I want to ask you about that though. What makes a good red zone defense? What is there something that you have to have down there to defend that part of the field particularly well?
You have to have courage because remember, it comes down to numbers. It's easy. If you score a touchdown, it's 6 points. If you score a field goal, it's 3 points. I know Greg Williams just always put a heavy emphasis on red zone. When we get in the red zone, we tighten up, and that's what they've been able to do. You saw against Las Vegas. Vegas has 6 trips in the red zone. They had 3 field goals, 2 touchdowns, and a failed 2-point conversion, and Tennessee won 22-24. That was the difference in that game, was how they played in the red zone. This week against Washington, if you look at the game Sunday, Washington is driving in that last series. You're thinking, uh-oh, a team that's lost 3 straight. And we told you, if you allow this team to stick around, they'll find a way to beat you. But again, they stiffen up. This team is amazing because you would think that a team that gets beat in the passing game, like they've been getting beat all season, you would think, okay, this defense is kind of a bend. It's kind of a bend, but don't break. They're going to give up some plays, but they're stingy when it gets in the red zone. And that's really what's been keeping this defense a kind of afloat, especially in the passing game, is the fact that they've been able to rise up in really critical situations. So I've been proud of the way they've been playing in the red zone. And that's how you win games in this league.
Yeah, the issue with the pass defense, it's I don't want to say it's getting comical, but it's so obvious that you know it's like you just shake your head week after week. This defense or this team has given up 14 touchdowns through 5 games. 12 of them are on passes, and you know that's already halfway to the number they gave up all last year. They're giving up 7.9 yards per attempt, which is just above the very bottom of this league. I mean, they are. It's just it just you could go on and on with the numbers here, and you know you alluded to this, Denard. They've got coming up in a 5-week stretch here: Kansas City, Denver, Green Bay, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia. That's Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, who's struggling, but he's still Russell Wilson, right? And he can throw the deep ball, which has been a problem for this team. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, and then Jalen Hurts, and that whole Philadelphia offense and what they've got going right now. So that starts in with the first game of November, and that doesn't leave this staff and this defense much time to fix things. But one thing I think that could be huge, if it happens, and there's really no indication of when or if at this point, but Elijah Molden has been on injured reserve since the start of the regular season, missed most of the preseason and training camp with injury issues too. If Elijah Molden can get back in there and be the slot cornerback that he was for most of last offseason, that does two things. Number one, it simplifies Roger McCreary's job. Roger McCreary, he's been a success story. He gives up a few too many completions, statistically speaking, but gets guys to the ground, is good in coverage. He gave up a touchdown Sunday that you can't fault him for. You know, the receiver makes an insane one-handed catch when McCreary is in position. But McCreary can, he's been going inside and outside based on the personnel groupings and whatnot. If Molden can get back in there, you leave McCreary on the outside, which makes his life easier. It improves communication. And then you're not having to search between Terrence Mitchell and Caleb Farley and Trey Avery and whoever else you might put out there. You know, who do we trust today kind of thing to take a chance with on the outside? And I guess the same thing can be said of Ugo Amadi, who has missed a couple of games here recently. You know, that's kind of the reason they traded him for him, was to have a slot guy. You just get one of those guys in there playing the slot. I think it will. Maybe this won't ever be a great pass defense this year, but it certainly has to calm things down if they can do that. And John, I guess along these lines, this is the bye week, big break now. You know, players aren't going to be practicing all week. They're not going to be, they're not going to be grinding through things. But coaches are going to be working. Coaches are going to be planning. What other things do you think this coaching staff can do, can dream up, or can start getting back to this week that will help this team somewhere?
I look at maybe two or three, areas that kind of need focus, I think. Pass protection. I think one of the sort of good stories really over the first 3 weeks was, hey, this offensive line that has so much different personnel that has been dealing with injuries, hey, they're holding up pretty well. They've only allowed four sacks in the first three games. That trend has kind of gone the other direction pretty hard the last 2 weeks. A combined eight sacks of Ryan Tannehill in the last 2 weeks.
And it looked like it was going to be 20 on Sunday.
Yes, out of yes, it did. There. And honestly,
I was worried for his health there.
Well, that's the interesting thing too. We all know Ryan Tannehill's had this incredible streak of starts for the Titans. I think it's around what 50 or so now. And every time now he goes back, you're starting to wonder, is this going to be the hit that brings that to an end? But yeah, and he had some incredible efforts, I thought, just to get rid of a couple passes, without getting sacked as well. But I think they need to find a way, whether it's more chips, more help, especially those tackles, are really struggling. I think Daly is just not. It wasn't cut out to be, I don't think, a starting left tackle in the NFL for a full season, and we're starting to see that kind of go in a bad direction. And Nicholas Petit-Frere, I think, is certainly going to be a pretty good right tackle in this league, but he's still raw and he still needs some help too. And I think both those guys are struggling a bit, so they need some help there. Certainly, yeah, I know you guys touched on this before, but the X plays are ridiculous. For a team that has put such an emphasis on that, game after game after game, the numbers now are pretty incredible. They've given up 15 plays this year already of 30 yards or more. All last year, they gave up 24. And just to compare what the offense is doing, the Titans offense only has four plays of 30 yards or more this year. So better pass pro, cut back on those X plays, and if they can unravel the great mystery of the second half and finding some ways to deliver a little bit more consistency in terms of the second half drives, you get some of those three problems cured. I think you're off to a pretty good start in the second half, or not the second half, but following the bye week.
Denard, when you were a player and you got this break in the season, did you spend time reviewing game film, watching yourself, doing whatever, or did you get as far away from football as you possibly could for a couple days and try and recharge that way? What did you find was the best way to handle this time?
I was on the first flight out of Nashville to Dallas. I was out of there. You know what? This is a time where you need to use this time to get away, because when you come back, you're going to have, what is it, 12 straight games. And
12 straight, yeah.
12 straight. And look, you got Kansas, you got Patrick Mahomes when you come back from the bye. Then you talk about Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow. And right now, the MVP right now, you're talking about that monster out in Philly, Hurts. He is playing lights out. And this schedule is going to get hard. This team is about to be tested. And so right now, what you want to do is get mentally away from this game, because this may be the last time you get arrested a long time. So use it. And also, if you're a player, what you want to do is to make sure you look at and you review the first half of this season. And try, when you go home, think about little things about what you can work on to get better. And for me, being a secondary guy and looking at this defense, I can pinpoint things. And one thing about the secondary, what they're going to have to do if they're going to be a ch if they're going to make a run to the playoffs, they've got to tighten up this second their coverage, because when you're giving up a 75-yard bomb, that's what gets you beat. You can have a quarterback that can throw for 400 yards, and you still they might have 10 or 15 points. We saw that Sunday, but you can't continue to give up these plays and expect to come out on top, because you got some great teams that you're about to play coming up.
Well, talk us through that too. Caleb Farley. I don't want to. I don't want people to think we're just banging on Caleb Farley every chance we get. But he gave up the big one Sunday where he was running with the guy, and all of a sudden he sort of like reached for him, and then he loses a step and a half or so, and the guy's gone down the field. When you were watching that play, what did you think he was trying to do? What did you know what happened there?
He looked like he was discombobulated. That's what happens when you're not playing with confidence. You're out there, when you play this position, when you look at guys like Jalen Ramsey and you look at him before pregame and they're talking a lot of noise, Jalen Ramsey said the reason that he talks noise is because it puts pressure on him to go out there and back it up. And cornerback is all about a position. When you play secondary, especially on those corners, on those perimeter, it's about confidence. If you go out there and if you feel like you're going to get beat, you are going to get beat. That's just the way it works. I've been there. I know what it's like to play with confidence. I can remember my last year in Nashville. I wanted people to throw at me. It was a pleasure and an honor because I believed that I could make that play, and I did. And so it's all about the mental preparation going forward. And that's something that Caleb has to learn. And when you look at this Washington team, these receivers, hey man, they was out their best receiver in Jahan Dotson, their stud out of Penn State. So when you look at Dommy Brown, I mean, we're talking about guys that we really wasn't expect to make that much of a contribution. Terry McLaurin, those players made some huge gains, some huge, huge plays, which led to a lot of points for Washington. So again, if they can just it just go out there with the mentality of regardless of what's going on, learn to tighten it up, then they can be a good secondary. But it's all mental. That's what's going on right now with Caleb Farley. It's just mental. And the way that you get through this mental, I call it drainage right now that he's going through, is just learn how to make a play. And just what you do is take one play at a time. If you can do that and make a play, I'm telling you, it could galvanize your career. I've seen it happen time and time again.
Yeah, Dyami Brown, a second-year guy who had no touchdown catches last year, had two catches for 102 yards and two touchdowns in this one. Similar to Mac Hollins 2 weeks earlier with the Raiders coming in here to Nashville and lighting it up. It's funny too to think about early in the season, Mike Vrabel was making lists of coaches being on the hot seat or potentially being fired. I think anyone who follows this team closely knows that was never the case, and certainly it's not the case now. But the NFL has had its first coaching casualty in Matt Rhule at Carolina, and John Glennon. There's some talk that Carolina might start dumping players as the trade deadline approaches. And is there anyone on that roster, if that starts happening, the Titans should be looking at maybe making a deal for?
Theoretically, you know, certainly we know how much the Titans are struggling at wide receiver after the trade of AJ Brown, you know, and Treylon Burks is out, you know, so automatically you look at a guy like a DJ Moore, you know, who, again, if the Panthers are going to try to reset everything now that the coach is gone, you know, maybe they fire sale some of these players as well. And DJ Moore, you at least would have to kick the tires on. This is a guy who's had, you know, he was a 2018 first round pick. He's had over 300 catches in the past 4 years, you know. So he's certainly quite a talent. There's no doubt he could be a big contributor. But unfortunately, there are other things that come along with that too. One of those is that DJ Moore just signed a big contract in this past offseason, 3 years, $62 million. And if one of the reasons that you dealt AJ Brown to Philadelphia was that you didn't necessarily want a whopper sized, you know, wide receiver contract at this present time, well, you know, you're going right down that avenue again. And I think the other question you have to ask is, you know, are the Titans right now, as presently constructed, are they kind of that one player away, one wide receiver away that you would give up, you know, whether it would have to be a very high draft pick in order to bring in DJ Moore. And I just don't know. If you look at the Titans roster right now and the injuries that they have, if you're willing to make that move and pick up a guy like a DJ Moore, if indeed he's available.
And with that, we will wrap up this episode. The time moves quickly, and as I'm sure the players will find out, this week will go much more quickly than they would like. But we will be back next week with another round of discussion. By we, I mean former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, thank you as always.
Thank you. And also maybe Courtland Sutton may be available in Denver.
Yeah, there you go. There's another, yeah. There's another name. And John Glennon of AllTitans at SI.com. John, thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
And I am David Beauclair of AllTitans at SI.com. This is the Believe in Titans podcast, brought to you by Bet Online.